Okay. 1 John, book 1 John chapter 1. I sent Pastor Hoffman an email yesterday. I go, hey, thank you very much for allowing me to fill your pulpit here, trusting I had something to say. I said, I have big shoes to fill. He emailed back and said, I only wear size 9. That makes me feel a little better. So, okay. 1 John 1, verses 3 and 4. Let me read this. This is the beginning. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be filled. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity this morning. I just pray you be able to settle down things this morning and be able to speak to folks' hearts. I hope I have a few things here, Lord, that maybe you've given me to help some folks out, Father. So may you minister this morning and work accordingly, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is a good verse here. I want to talk to you this morning about a simple word called fellowship. And sometimes the simplest things are profound, but it's a very important part of the Christian walk, and there's some aspects to it. And a lot of times we take a while to learn these things here. So as we read this here, it says here in verse 1, it says that which was from the beginning, this is John talking, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So obviously they had physical contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, call him the word of life. There is flesh and blood, Jesus Christ. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So here we are, you think, wow, if only I'd been back there and had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what though? That was the flesh and blood Jesus Christ. We have the word here. And what's interesting is, if you've been back in the days of Washington, George Washington or something, or Paul, it would have just been a person. But obviously, Jesus Christ is alive today, and we can have fellowship with him today. Now, that word fellowship takes different aspects here. Just looking at Webster here, it says a mutual association of persons on equal or friendly terms, partnership, joint interest, a fellowship of pain, fitness, fondness, entertainment. And obviously, we know that type of fellowship. And sometimes if you like a sporting event, you know, you can fellowship people in that sporting event. Or if you like fishing, hunting, you know, if you go to the fishing show, you kind of like to hang out at the fishing show or hunting show, or maybe ladies like to knit or bake. You have a common interest, so you have fellowship with that type of thing. But here in verse John, it says it's an intimate thing. It says communion, companionship, intimate familiarity. That's with the Lord Jesus Christ. The paper and ink, Jesus Christ. That's the key thing. It says here in verse 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So obviously, we're having real fellowship with a real person through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, who is that light? That's obviously we have today. Jesus gone, but we have the word. The word is the light. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So as we read the word and we have the Holy Spirit, we're getting fellowship from the word. It says in 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light. That's the word of God. That shineth in a dark place, and that day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. So there's that, the flesh and blood Jesus Christ. He's gone. But what we have, he left us the Word of God. That's why it's important, you know, this book is alive. It's how you approach it is a very important thing. Your fellowship with a live book. I think there's 6 million copies of books in the Library of Congress, but only one's alive. And so you get fellowship through the Word of God. Very important to get that. Now, what's interesting is, all the time you have this truth and light, you got to be careful because the devil always has his counterpart. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You get that? So you got to be able to, as you look at the Word, disseminate, you know, good light from bad light. And having fellowship, there's always some conditions on it. You know, God saved you, but you know, there's always a lot of ifs and buts in the Bible. And there are conditions. Now, it said here, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed from all sin. Right before that, God wants a pure vessel. I mean, salvation's easy. Amen? You know, we need salvation. You know, amen? But now God wants this intimate amount so we can walk in this light of the Word of God. And my few weeks ago in Sunday school, talked about salvation, separation, sanctification. That's a process. Salvation is a moment, but this Christian walk is a process. It just takes time. You know, it's like, you know, young, you know, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. You know, you're drinking, you know, mother's milk when you first, you know, infants, and they eat, you know, baby food, and now they grow up and they're eating adult food. You want to feed, same thing with the Word of God. You're feeding it on some things early on, and you're growing spiritually. There in Romans 12:1, it says, you know, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing your mind, which you can prove, which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? It's a process. It's good, acceptable, perfect. It's a process. Now, that's the fellowship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ and his Word. There's a couple other fellowships that all kind of tie together, and that's the fellowship of God's people. You know that? I mean, that's the fellowship of God's people. In Ephesians 5, verse 1, we read, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, look at that verse from in here. You know, there's a lot of warnings here in Scripture. If we look at the verse above it, let's look at how that's set up here in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Be ye followers of God as your children." So here we have someone to follow. You can follow somebody. You follow, you know, the Lord. You can follow good men of God. Be followers of me, Paul. You know, followers. By the way, the new versions put imitate. You know, I mean, think about that. You know what, though? Who's the greatest imitator out there? The devil. Ain't that little word change it around. Yeah, imitate God, this devil. Those, be careful of the words. That's why these words that the Lord put here today are so important to pay attention to. Pay attention to the detail. God wants that. But look what it says here. It says, and a lot of this is, some of it's positive. Look at the negativeness for fellowship. "And walk in love as Christ also had loved and had given himself for us for an offering and sacrifice for God, a sweet-smelling savor." You look at a lot of times before you get some rebuke, many times in the Bible, God just reminds you what he did for you. Notice that. You know, here's some, God gave his life. He always reminding you, hey, I led by an example. And so it's always like reminding you what the Lord did for you, saving your soul from hell, right? You know, okay, so because of that, now do these things here. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Don't see it there? You're a saint now. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is a idolater had an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Now, that's not salvation. That's a benefit of being saved. You get an inheritance. You get benefits in life to come here. So don't lose them. So God gives you some benefits in the future. So be careful of that. Let no man deceive you in vain words. Going along a lot today. Right, you know? Brother Paul mentioned Dr. Fauci. I call him Dr. Falsey. You know? For because of these things cometh the wrath of God. Hey, these are believers. You don't want the wrath of God upon you. I mean, it's the wrath of damnation, of hell, but it's the wrath of doing some of these things as a child of God. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye are sometimes darkness, but ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving, so you could test things out, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And I just quote that verse again. And have no fellowship. This gave you the list, right? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I think a lot of times the believers, there are things that people should be doing and are afraid to say something. And by not saying some things, and there's grace and truth, right? But not saying some things, what happens is that gets run by that. So you got to be careful there. Now, obviously, when I was lost, I was raised Catholic. That was clearly some bad teaching. I mean, it talks about having sacrifice on the devils, the Catholic supper, they call that, is a fellowship with devils. That's pretty clear. But you know what happens? As Christians, there's a lot of bad fellowship too, even in amongst the churches. I remember one time visiting, I called Harvest Snow Bible Church in Arlington Heights, as I call it, and there was a guy named James McDonald there. And I visited him. Someone wanted me to go visit that church on a Saturday. And I remember I was embarrassed wearing a tie. You can't wear a tie because no one wears a tie here. That's a Saturday. And you know what? You never have to go to the service. Just look at what they're reading or go to the bookstore. Look at where the fellowship. And as I went into the bookstore, couldn't find a King James Bible in the midst. Everything but a King James Bible. And then books on what? Psychology. Feel good. This is these mega churches. And then I remember going over, they have this high-tech little videos where you can watch these Christian rock bands play and buy the video. And I'll never forget, there was a young kid about 8 years old. He had hair down to here. Was with the mother, shorts on. And he had the thing on, and he's jamming, watching this thing. I'm not kidding. This is church people. Have no fellowship with them, folks. You get that, folks? I mean, they may be saved, but you know what? Be careful with fellowship with that. That's going to hurt you. You understand that? So, I mean, because it says church on it, I mean, nothing. They got that. They have different spirits there. Test the spirits. Paul says you can prove those things. That was just an introduction. As I went into the auditorium, I sat right in the front row, and within about 3 seconds, there was a phenomenal rock concert going on. There was a guy in the front here. He was in a cage. He had sunglasses on. I guess it was dark, bright in there. And he's banging on these drums. And you know what? My heart is just pounding. I got saved out of that stuff. But a lot of believers didn't. And they're getting all those feelings. And they're thinking it's of the Lord. It's that separation, folks. It's that the fellowship of separation. God will fellowship you with that separation. Think about this in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, what happened is people brought their offerings before the Lord, right? And the first thing they did is they walked past that tabernacle, and there was a fire there. That's a picture of what? Judgment and hell, right? Reminding you, hey, folks, they're bringing their animal, hoping to have a pure heart, and they want to share the best sacrifice. And you know what, though? They offered it, and then it's accepted. And I'm sure, I'm glad they accepted. They had some fellowship then. But see, there's a process there. They're doing what They're doing what God says to get that fellowship. And same thing in the Christian walk. We need to know what not to do so we get a fellowship, not only with the Lord, but with other people. I go out with believers, and if they're saved, be great. But all of a sudden, getting into some of these things here, like, oh man, they're Calvinistic in theology, or they're into these, rock groups, or into psychology. Your fellowship kind of is not there. That's why we have camps, you call them. There's a, new evangelical camp, and then you got your Lutheran camps and your fundamental camps. We call this a Bible-believing camp because we have kind of fellowship. Some of the best fellowship you have here on earth is with fellow believers. You understand that? Because you have that intimate agreement amongst yourselves. Get that, folks? You have with the Lord through His Word, and you have it amongst people here upon earth. And that's where that great joy is, Now, a couple things. Fellowship can change your countenance. Remember Moses? He made 7 trips, I believe, up and down the mountain. He's a mountain climber. Think about that. But you know why he's up there? Who's up there? The Lord. Amen? You want to go to the Lord. And one time he spent 40 days out there, and it says he had no food nor water. He fed on the Lord. Imagine the close fellowship he had up there in the mountain. Think about some of those things. That's when he came down with the tablets. You know why he was mad? Because he was so clean. His face shine. He got mad at them because they were having all this abominable stuff. He threw the tablets down. Unbelievable. But see, he had that fellowship. 40 days with no food, no water. And his countenance there was changed. You know what? It says here in Psalm 21:6. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. You could tell when folks are kind of walking with the Lord. It kind of shows on you, amen? I have clients sometimes come in, and I know they're believers. I can just tell, why? By the way they look a little bit. Psalm 89:15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound and shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. A merry heart make it a cheerful countenance, right? You know who you can't notice that has the bad countenance? But for me, I'm visiting with a Mormon. I could smell them out, right? Or a Jehovah's Witness, I could just tell. They have that look on their face. I mean, am I right? How about the queers? I'm serious. I mean, they have a look. I mean, seriously, what though? Look at their countenance. Something about that, folks. From the man looking on the outward appearance, man looking heart, but the outward, look at that. I could just tell, come on my door, and that's a Jehovah's Witness. Me and Chuck here visited some Mormons the other day, about 2 weeks ago, right, Chuck? And I walk in, and the 19 and 20-year-old kid trying to teach us some Bible. I knew what they're going to go. I get look at their face, like, oh, they're Mormons. You get to smell them. I'm not kidding you. They're fellowshipping, seriously, folks, with a different spirit. You got to get that, folks. It's a different spirit. Hey, talk to somebody in, a seminary professor, somebody about the Bible issue. Watch their countenance change. Try that, folks. There's something about that. Throwing a rock down a dark alley, you're going to hit something. You know that? So it's that countenance what you're reading and who you're associating with. It's that fellowship. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 16. The Lord gives you fellowship whether you're on the mountaintops or whether you're in the valley. Now, let's look at Acts 16. This is, pretty familiar situation here. We have Paul and Silas. Now, where are they in Acts 16, verse 20, 34? They're in jail. Now, you guys know the story. They were falsely accused in verse 20. Hey, nobody likes to be falsely accused. Just tell you a story. At my old churches, there was a guy visiting. And what happened was he's kind of down on some things, you know, and live in an apartment. And the pastor asked me to help him out some way, you know, financially. I go, well, I'm going to have him do some work around the house, pay him some money to help him out a little bit, get some fellowship with him. And I had him do some work around the house. And I know when I got up in the morning, I had a wad of money, billfold. I put it on my little desk. And I had him there, another friend, doing some work for me. And later in the day, I noticed that money was gone. I go, oh, man, that guy stole my money. I know it was there. I knew it was there. And I felt bad accusing someone. I go, this guy, I go, hey, you know what? You know, I had a roll of money there, and it's gone. He looked at me and goes, I know it looks bad because of my situation, but I didn't do it. I could tell he's telling me the truth, but I knew it was there. And, you know, I felt real bad about it, you know. I think it was a Saturday, next day at church, I told the pastor, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, Tim, I asked you to help that guy out a little bit if you can, and didn't show up at all. And that next day, I think it was, what happened is, when they were washing the windows there, they moved the counter and the money fell behind the counter. I still feel bad, now I didn't shake him like it's there, but I still feel bad false accusing that guy. I went and looked for him where he lived, I just wanted to give him a hug and tell him I'm sorry. But that was falsely accused. Here, they're getting falsely accused, you know, for something they didn't do. Just that alone is a bad deal. They got beat here in verse 21 and 22. They put him in prison, verse 23, and in 24, not only in the prison, they're in these stocks. After getting beaten a little bit, you know what they do? Guys want to relax and take it easy. They're in stocks. That's probably very uncomfortable. Nothing worse than not being able to get some rest. I remember I read a story about a Baptist pastor was in Russia back in the day. And what the biggest thing it was, they kept him in a place where he couldn't get rest because of temperature. Nothing was worse. He couldn't get sleep, couldn't get rest. It was like his underwear. He couldn't get comfortable, and he couldn't get rest. That was the most hardest thing to do where your body needs rest, and you can't get it. Here, they couldn't have rest. And in verse 25, what are these folks doing? They're praying and singing loud at midnight. You ever think about that? I mean, think about that. Hey, it's time to rest. They're falsely accused. And these beaten ones, a little, you know, your kids, you know, something wrong, maybe it'll give them too hard. They're probably loving to beat these guys. They wanted to beat them, right, you know? And here they were. And look what happened. And it says here in verse 16, 34, and when they had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his hearts. That's after God freed them. You think they had some fellowship? You see that? You see, that fellowship is a byproduct just of listening and walking and obeying the Lord. You see that? That's just a byproduct. You know, just hang in there and the Lord will give you some fellowship. Now, we go to Philippians 3, 9-10. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is by God, by faith, that I may know him, that's intimate amount there, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what, though? That's Paul wrote that after experiencing all these things. Being made conformable unto his death. They realize what the Lord did for them. It's always good to remember where you came from and what the Lord did for you. Amen? I mean, no matter where you are around the world, we're in America here. But no matter where you are, hey, if you're saved, the Lord died for you. Your conditions, political, financial, hey, that's all. Hey, remember what the Lord did for you on Calvary's cross. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, I remember one time, I only almost got arrested only one time. And I've been out doing ministry for a while. And I guess because I'm always trying to have a cheerful confidence about it. But one time I was with the Gideons, and this is when they gave away King James Bibles, and we would do the schools. And we visited a school. It was a middle school. And middle kids, they like taking the Word of God. We'd hand out Bibles wearing suits like this, you know. And we got there one year, and the principal, a Lutheran, he couldn't stand we were there. Couldn't stand it. But we would line up on the sidewalk, Kids that come out of the school, they have to come past our sidewalk onto the bus, and we handed out a scripture. And he goes, if you guys come back here next year, I'm calling the police. And he was death set against it. Well, next year we do go to school once a year. Well, I want to be on that distribution. I kind of like that. You know, I'm looking forward to that. You know, but sure enough, we go there, and as a convenience, we always walk into school and tell them we're there. Not permission to do it, but to give them knowing that we're going to be outside, men wearing, generally older people wearing suits, handing out Bibles. And I got one of the positions here. I had a full box and a half a box, and here are the kids coming, and I'm handing them out like candy, and the guy is right there just steaming. In fact, I show him the empty box, put it down, kind of, you know, I got one box down already, sir. Throw the other one down. I get the other one. I'm handing it out. Here comes the police officer, and he's talking. He's pointing right towards me. I go, oh, not me. He's pointing right towards me. Get that guy right there, right in front of me, right there. I go, oh, man. So that the police officer came, and he grabbed me. He goes, you're going to jail. I go, oh. I wouldn't worry about it because they ain't going to beat me in jail in a third world country. But I don't want to go with all the hassles and, you know. So I remember I had my box of Bible. He had his hand on me, and he's walking me into a squad car. And as he's walking, I'm going, Lord, get me out of this mess. I don't know what you're going to do, but I don't want to go to jail. I know I'm going to get out of it and all that stuff. And it just so happened that he parked right next to my car. What a quinky dinky. I go, oh, officer, look, here's my car. I said, here, hold this box. For some reason, he took his hand off me and held my box of Bible. I want to hand on my hand. And I'm getting my car. He's sitting there with his Bible, seeing a ring on his hand. And there are two Bibles in the box. Like, okay, sir, I'll see you later. You're stood like dumbfounded. And I kind of pulled out and went around. And boom. I had fellowship with the Lord. I pulled around there, you know, quickly. But here he was just with the book, the box, and two Bibles. One for him, one for his wife. Off I went. That's the closest I've ever gotten to get in trouble. But you know what, though? After a situation like this, the Lord just meets you. If I'm saying, he meets you in little ways and goes, hey, you know what? A little personal fellowship. I kind of like that. You know, let me give you a couple things here I think you'll find interesting. In Genesis 22, we have this very familiar story of Abraham and what he did with his son. This is really an amazing story. I mean, it is amazing. In verse 22, the Lord's talking. Then he says, behold, here am I. Notice that here I am. He's willing to respond to the Lord. And it says, now take your son, thy only son, Isaac, who thou lovest. And he's telling him to get the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Now, can you imagine getting that news? That's pretty amazing news to get. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood of the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, look here. This walk is 3 days. He's walking 3 days. What do you think he's thinking for 3 days? I mean, think of it. He's walking. Going, I got to kill my son. He's for 3 days. I mean, I can imagine what's going through his mind. Think about that. What's going to, I got to kill my son. I mean, I know I'm going to have a sec. Probably going to raise from the dead. I'm going to hurt. You know, think of all that mess. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide with him, and I and the lad will go and worship. I am in here. This is the first time the word worship appears. You know what? You got to define your word. You know what worship is here? It's doing something that you know the Lord wants you to do, but you don't want to do it. That's real worship, folks. Get that? Get that, folks? Hey, I'm helping you. How about getting a piece of paper when you're home and take a piece of paper and write down things that you know the Lord wanted you to do, but you don't want to do it? For us, me, probably a short list. Amen? Get that. That's a great definition of worship right there. And we'll come again. It says here, and Isaac spake, Abraham father said, here am I. Isaac's went obey his dad. The whole 3 days, he's walking and saying anything. And Abraham, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering so that they both of us, they both of them together. And there's a great, obviously, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ providing himself a lamb, kind of a prophecy of that, right? And we know what happened. The Lord stopped him. And when he went to sacrifice his son, right, he stopped him. And I can imagine the fellowship that Isaac or Abraham had coming down. He knew he's coming down because it says here in verse 5, it says, and we will come again to you. So Abraham in his mind is thinking, hey, you know what? I'm probably going to kill my son. I probably got to burn him up. That's what they did, you know, and somehow he'll resurrect himself. I mean, he must have thought that some way, right? You know, think of this here. Jonah, who was a disobedient service, he had 3 days where? In the heart of the whale. See that there? You know, he was disobedient, and God put him here. Harry was an obedient servant, and God used him. So God's going to use you one way, willingly a lot of times, or unwillingly. Amen? So think of the fellowship that they had coming down the mountain. And obviously, this has been a story set for thousands of years, the faith of Abraham. You think about that. That's quite a rough thing to ask someone, is to take out their son. That's what worship is. Worship is doing something that you know the Lord wanted you to do, but you didn't want to do it. You know, about 8-9 years ago, I had some clients up north. I live in Plainfield now. I live in Bolingbrook there. And they're probably the furthest clients I had. They lived in Mundelein, Illinois. It's about an hour and 10-minute ride from where I am. And I found out just through calling the office that the wife was sick, cancer. Matter of fact, she was in the hospital. And I talked a little about the Lord, you know, when I was there. But I got home. I remember it was a kind of a January, February day. Remember, it's dark, it's cold, you're tired and all that, right? And I found out about that. Lord says, go talk to her. Oh, Lord. Hey, I'm tired, it's dark, you know, a long ways to go. You know what I'm saying? You know, okay, I'm going. I got my little Bible, and the whole way driving, I'm like, oh, I got to deal with the kids probably and the wife. What am I going to say? She's real sick. I'm going to try to get the gospel in there. You know, I'm just thinking in my mind, how all this is going to play out. I walk in the hospital, and I ask for the room. There's no one there. There's no one in there, no people. And I go to visit her, and she was really sick. I think she was in hospice at the time. She was laying in bed, kind of no lights. All she had on was oxygen. They're letting her die. I'm trying to talk to her a little bit. No response, no nothing. And so I tried to tell her about the Lord a little bit. No response. And I went home. I go, kind of a waste of time, I'm thinking. You know, I mean, I know the Lord wanted me to go there. I really don't want to go, but I know he wanted me to go there. Well, as time passed on, her husband passed away. And then our office is settling the estate. We do estate planning. We settle the estate for people with the legal, accounting, financial matters. And sure enough, there's 3 kids. And they're all kind of messed up kids, you know. I mean, married several times and a lot of problems and everything. And so we're helping them out, and I'm trying to talk to the kids. There's a son, Brian, and 2 daughters. And I'm talking to them a little bit, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to give them a good witness since I have their attention. I got documents they got to sign, and they got to get their stuff, you know. They got to be listening to me, you know. So I said, let's go to lunch, and I'll give you the last documents and things you need to do. So I go up north to a Mexican restaurant, and all they want to do is get their stuff and go, a lot of them. But one of the sons, Brian, was listening. And as I'm trying to give him a clear presentation of the gospel, death, burial, resurrection, what the Lord did for you, what good man gained the whole, and I'm really just pouring my heart out. 2 girls are just shoving it in. He's listening a little bit. And that was it. So a few days later, looking at my phone, I get a text from Brian. He's quoting a piece of scripture. I'm not quoting scripture here. Hey, brethren. So I get him on the phone, and I go, hey, Brian, how's going on? He goes, well, you know, I'm your brother in the Lord now. And I go, well, tell me about it. And he's telling me about what we heard. And without me even knowing, I mentioned that I wanted to visit his mother in the hospital. You know, it was his mother years ago. He said, when I heard that, that you went to visit my mom at the last moment, I wasn't going to wait that much longer. I needed the Lord. Now, you know what I had? Some fellowship, man. You get that? By doing something over here that I don't know why I'm doing. So I know the Lord wanted me to go do something. But you know what? And it seemed like a waste of time. Not for the Lord, is it? Being obedient, you don't know. And later on, hey, that was a wonderful thing. It's called fellowship, man. You young folks over here, do something for the Lord. Just be responsive. Get that list out there and go, I know the Lord wants me to do this here, and I'm doing it because that's real worship. Defined the first time mentioned in the Bible. And so we've got the worship from the Word of God. You're saved, love the Lord, you have that. You have the fellowship amongst the saints, some of the best fellowship you have. Folks, am I right? I remember going many times to places. I remember we even went, I remember sweet fellowship with the saints. Amen? It says here in closing in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Get that, folks? He is, it ain't about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. How is your fellowship with the Word? That's your personal decision. It's you alone with the Word of God. Are you obedient? Are you separated? Are you sanctified? How is the fellowship with his people, right? I mean, how is that going? I mean, generally, if you're in church, you like fellowship people. I mean, generally, ask my wife, I'm usually the last people to leave because I like the fellowship of the saints. In fact, I remember when I first got saved, I go out with the blacks, they're called the blacks, remember the blacks? And we go out, we call it the service after the service. We're going to have a service after the service. You know, I mean, you know, you're just hungry to feed in God's word. I remember fellowshipping, talking about the Bible, all night. I came up out of their home. It was light out again. All night, just spending time, and God is showing you things. And I'm like, this is great. I remember coming, I go, man, it's light out. I'm tired. I mean, I wasn't while I was fellowshipping and getting something. It's that fellowship with the Word of God and other believers. That's where God's working on your heart and mind, and some of these things you can't put a price on. You follow what I'm saying? And then, how is your personal fellowship in His service? That first verse I read, it says, that your joy may be full. You know what joy is? Jesus, others, yourself. Amen? Remember that, young folks. It's Jesus, others, yourself. Hey, you know what it was before we got saved? Even a lot of believers? It's me, myself, and I. Amen? How's that working out for you? Not too good, is it? Right? I mean, it's all right here in plain English, right? It's strictly being obedient to what the Lord says. So maybe have him seek him up here and play this last hymn. And as we do, I just want to end in a word of prayer and give you something to think about. I'm here to help you. I mean, you know, I asked the Lord, what would you have me talk about this week and next week? Next week's going to be a negative message, I'll tell you right now. So this is a positive one, okay? But, you know, I mean, let's, you know, so, you know, what do you want? I want to give something to help. Honestly, these are things that took me a while to figure out. I'm slow, but I'm not stupid, okay? Oh, get that, folks? You know, so best thing is learn from others, amen? So let's play last hymn, and I have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity to speak with the folks here and just remind us of truths found in your word about fellowship. And it's an important part. God saved us, and he didn't save us to be robots or just to be here being wasting time and space. He saved us so we can have fellowship and glorify him, Father. That's about in Revelation 4:11, to glorify you, make you happy, Father. And we do that when we're fellowshipping with you and with other saints and in your service. So we thank you for this time, Father, for this morning service. If someone here just needs to, you know, make an altar in their pew or here, Lord, you know their hearts and minds, you know what's going on, Father, may you minister accordingly. We'll give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.